Our scripture for this morning is Deuteronomy 8. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and a thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought you water out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day.
That is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed, as it is written. He scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, you are a giving God. You've given us this word through your servant Paul, that we might be in better stead to be your servants. And so, Lord, we want to open our minds and open our hearts, open the core of our being, that you would flood this goodness into us, and that it would be in us a well of water that would water many with the water of life. Thank you for your faithfulness. We now rely upon your Spirit to teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus told a story about a man who had great wealth. He had a bumper crop one year, and he began to ruminate about how he was going to store those crops and how he was going to use those crops. You know, it's like when your business is really prospering, you start to dream dreams about what you're going to do with all this. And so the dream that he had after this contemplation, he came up with a plan. He says, I'm going to tear down my present barns, and I'm going to build larger ones. Then I'm going to be able to store all my grain and all the material wealth that I've amassed for myself. And this will be my retirement plan. I'm going to be able to relax now, to eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds like a good plan, right? The closer you get to retirement, or when you're in retirement, you think, well, I'll be able to just now just take it easy. Pull up the rocking chair, you know, get a good jug of wine and just really enjoy. But do you know how the story ends? You fool, says God. This very night, your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared? Many of us feel that these improvements to our lives will make us feel better. And they do, for a little while. But by themselves, these added barns and the things that they hold, they just leave us wanting for more. Harvest time reveals something about my character. When all the goods are gathered into the barn, and I've got all kinds of stuff at my disposal, how do I use it? What am I going to do with the harvest? 2 Corinthians 9:10 that we read reads this way. He who supplies seed for the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. The harvest of your righteousness. What does that mean? We know about what it means to harvest the grain and bring it into the barn. But what about a harvest of righteousness? Righteousness has to do with relationships. Righteousness is treating one another with honor. And when there's a need, we make ourselves available to meet that need. The harvest of righteousness is saying all the stuff that we've got gathered into the barn is not for us. Now, that's not an American way of thinking, is it? We think, you know, I can get all this good stuff and now I can take it easy. I've got a great 401k. It's all for me. No. A harvest of righteousness says you put it in the barn, but it's not all for you. It's for God's kingdom. Again, Jesus himself says to us, seek first his kingdom, and there's the word again, and his righteousness. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first the righteousness of God, which means we want to be able to take good care, not simply of ourselves, but of one another and people that we don't yet know. When Lita shared about the devastation that still has blighted our sisters and brothers in the Philippines, you say, well, I don't know them. Lita does. I mean, she has family still over there in Leyte. And so guess what? We have family there too. Because they're not just Lita's responsibility. They're our responsibility. Just as people quickly came to us when our shores were being devastated, we're there for one another. That's what righteousness is about. That's what the harvest of righteousness is. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, And then there's a promise. And all these things shall be added unto you. You'll get everything you're going to need. The Apostle Paul, as he continues in his teaching of the use of goods, says in 2 Corinthians 6:6, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. The Corinthians to whom he's writing are probably not stingy people. They're probably just like you. We're not stingy people. This is not a stingy church. But sometimes we're worried, aren't we? We become fearful that there's just not going to be enough left for us. Times are uncertain. Who knows what tomorrow is going to bring? And what if we choose to bless other people extravagantly, as our mission statement says we will, and then we find ourselves with unexpected expenses? I mean, what if I might need that money for myself? And so what is it that keeps us from generosity, from extravagantly blessing? It's a four-letter word: fear. Fear keeps us from generosity because the money only goes so far. Our resources, well, they come to an end. Life itself comes to an end. And the problem in all of this is trusting in my own ability. How daring are we to pray and ask about God instructing how we give? Most of us have done that from time to time. Yet there are times when we're like, if I ask God about my giving, he's going to always tell me to give more, right? And that's usually what God does. On rare occasion, God says, no, you know, hold it right there. But that's pretty rare, I think. Because all of us can continue to grow in giving, and God knows that. And I'm not just talking about putting money in an offering plate. It's learning how to be a good steward of the resources that God has given to us. That's everything. How do we open up our hearts and our homes to people? Using our time when we say, you know, I don't want to take that time. And God says, take the time. You'll be a blessing. You can extravagantly bless somebody else with your time. Just taking the time. And it'll mean so much for them. So Paul says, each of us, each one must do as he or she has purposed in the heart. 2 Corinthians 6:7. Everybody should do as they've purposed in their hearts. Which means we need to take some time and look into our hearts and offer those hearts up to God so that we know how God wants us to give, whether it's through abilities that we have or time that's on our hands or time that we say, I don't have, or money or relationships, all of that. We have to give to God as we've purposed in our hearts. Now, the trustees of the church have been praying about this. How do we fund the work that God wants us to do through Seaview? And what we're sensing is the importance of seeking God regarding our willingness to extravagantly bless from a thankful heart, a heart that purposes blessing, hearts that are purposing to bless others. The blessing comes when there's work to do, when we give ourselves to the work. It was probably about three, four weeks ago, a whole group of people came together to put down the fellowship hall floor. Just when I walked out in there this morning after I come in through my office door, and I open those doors, and I always look at that floor. Every time I look at it, I say, wow. And those of you that that didn't know the difference between our old floor and our new floor, it's like, man, phew, what a difference. Take a look in the storage closet. You'll see the old floor. Whew.
Not
anymore. No, you filled the storage closet too. Okay, it's no evidence of the. No, there's. I know it's back in the other, underneath where the tables are. That was people getting together. Yes, there were finances involved, but much of that came through a gift to supply the resources. But the other resources were that was us getting our hands dirty. Supplying food and spending the day doing these things to put down a floor. You say, well, that's still all about us. No, do you know who uses that floor? There'll be a group in there this afternoon that, quote unquote, is not us. It's an AA group that comes and uses that floor, uses that room every Sunday afternoon. And another group that comes on Tuesday night. And then there are the kids from Linwood Nursery School that sometimes use that floor when they play there because it's too rainy to go outside or too cold. That floor gets all kinds of use. And the way it was before, they could have tripped and fallen over some of those chipped tiles. Now it's safe again. That's stewardship. And for the most case, it didn't cost most of us a whole lot. Only in time. You see, blessing comes when we do that. Or blessing comes when the mission budget needs subscribing. Have you looked in the bulletin and see what our mission budget is right now? It's $59 in the black. You say, well, that's not a whole lot. That's pretty good in comparison to where it was a few months ago. There's blessing in that. Or stretching to give to the mission of the church. As we keep the lights on, as we have heat in here this morning, salaries have to be paid. Paper and paper clips have to be bought for the office. And VBS has to be funded. And the central desire in all of this is not the continuation of Seaview. It's the growth of the kingdom of God. We are here to serve God's purposes, not to just kind of. This is not a fortress mentality. We just, you know, get everybody in here and make this place a safe place so we can hide from the rest of the world. No, we're here for the rest of the world. The kingdom of God grows, oftentimes not by leaps and bounds, but in small actions that have more effect than you and I could ever imagine. So here's the proposal. Pray. Number one, pray. You say, I already do that. But specifically, we want you to pray and to ask God to speak to you about growing your giving in all the forms that we're talking about here. But as far as giving to the church, you know, what gets put in that envelope or in that offering plate, we're asking you to seek God about stretching in giving. And then once God has spoken, we're asking that you begin to give at that new level starting December 7th. So that the month of December will be for us, as the trustees do the work, a benchmark from which we can understand, you know, pretty much what we can count on for the next year. So it's that simple. Ask God, and God will speak. God will speak to you about growing in grace. And it doesn't have to be a lot. We'll be glad to have a lot, but that's not the deal. The deal here is that we're going to be faithful. And God takes our small faithfulness, and He grows it. It was an ordinary winter day in 1961 when an MIT meteorologist named Edward Lorenz ran some routine experiments and he found some unusual results. He discovered that seemingly tiny and insignificant changes in his data produced huge differences in the final result. And so he named it the sensitive dependence on initial data. Well, I say, well, that's not the title for any book. But he came up with another term, and we now call it the butterfly effect. Oh, that'll sell. So in 1972, this is, 11 years later, he presented a scientific paper entitled Predictability. Does the flap of a butterfly's wings in Brazil set off a tornado in Texas? According to his theory, butterfly wing flapping doesn't actually cause a tornado, but it can start a chain reaction leading to giant changes in worldwide weather patterns. In other words, even tiny, insignificant movements or actions can produce huge changes that affect millions of people. Now let's translate that. If you were to start to give $5 more per week in your giving, you say, well, that's not that much. I can afford that. God says, start with that. Let me grow it. Because that $5 added to that $10 added to that $2 added to these $7 are going to start to add up. My mom, when I started working with her finances after Dad died, she was giving $3 a week to the church. And, she was working with Social Security income, that's all she got, of about $1,100 a month. And I said, Mom, I'll bet you could give another dollar a week to the church and you'd be okay. And she said, okay, I'll do that. So she started giving $4. And every year she increased her giving by a dollar. So at the time of her passing, just a month and a half ago, she was giving $10 a week. That's pretty big growth from 3 to 10. And she was able to do it, and she didn't miss it at all. And she felt good about it. That is a harvest of righteousness. How did she do it? She did it by grace. God loves a cheerful giver. The kind of giving that we experience often brings us to great joy. I mean, in your giving to someone, when you want to give a gift to somebody and you take all the time and you wrap the present and you say, here. You say, here. No, there's joy in giving. And that's what he says. God loves this hilarious giving. I mean, it's deep belly laughter. Like, this is so cool that I can do this. And then God promises us this. 2 Corinthians 6:8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Grace. Grace is the key to living the Jesus life, the kingdom life. It's not about my power to give. It's about God's power to grace us and give us abilities that we never thought we could do. When we trust God's power, it's something beyond us. It's more than my own strength. It's trusting God's power. And when we trust His grace, grace is a mysterious thing that works in me and in you, seeking to do things in us and through us that we'd have thought later on, like, how did I do that? How did we do this? I remember walking into the state offices a few years ago, and I walked in feeling really tired. just thinking that, you know, a little over 10 years ago, I was the president of ABCNJ, and I was able to do it in that time when before the new executive minister came. So I had a lot of work to do, and I walked in dragging, and I said to the secretary, "How in the world did I ever do that?" She said, "It was grace. It was grace that gave you strength to do that. It was God's grace. It was for a season." That same grace is available to each of us. We grow in grace, and we grow in generosity, and we begin to harvest a greater righteousness, our relationships are in better order, because we're not so afraid anymore. We can give. Churches in the northeastern Indian state of Mizoram have a beautiful phrase about how they express their giving to God. It's called Bufai Tam. Bufai Tam. It means one handful of rice at a time. One handful of rice at a time. And this is how it works. Families and churches set aside a portion of rice at every meal for God. I mean, rice is the staple in the Indian culture, just as it is in many of the Asian cultures. They said, we put aside one handful of rice at every meal for God. And when we collect enough rice, we take it to the local church. And the church pools all the rice and turns around and sells the rice to generate income. In 1914, when they began this practice, they used the sale of rice to raise $1.50. That's in U.S. money at the time. But lately, these Christians have been collecting $1.5 million worth of rice. And through it, they support 1,1800 missionaries in addition to their local ministry. People have also started to give in more creative ways. It's inspired them to give as they give vegetables and firewood and other resources that flow into the church's outreach for the kingdom. And all starts with a handful of rice. What's your handful of rice? A church member there in northeastern India said, "It is not our richness or our poverty that makes us serve the Lord, but it's our willingness." And so we Mizo people say, as long as we have something to eat every day, we have something to give to God every day. As long as there's rice, there's something to give to God. As long as there's something in here, there's something to give to God. As long as there's something in here, there's something to give to God. And so, ask. Pray about it. Pray about what God's calling you to do and to be. Whether your giving is to Seaview Baptist Church or some other place, it's about giving. It's about a harvest of righteousness. Speak to God about growing your giving. And if you're giving here at Seaview, we're going to ask, begin to give at that new level on December 7th. Let's see what God does. Let's pray. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. Your faithfulness to us in supplying more than handfuls of rice. Help us, Lord, to get before you, to listen well, and to trust your grace to supply everything that we're going to need to be faithful to the way you speak to us. We are yours. Mold us. Shape us. In Jesus' name, amen.